Alright, yep, I'm starting it up. Okay, so today is Daf Lamed Aleph. We are on the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. Interesting story. Rava have a Badik Legira. Rava would be checking, seems to be the arrows. He would check the arrows the Rabbi Yoni Bar Tachlifa. He would check the arrows of Rabbi Yoni Bar Tachlifa. I think it's funny because the person's name is Rabbi Yoni. We're talking about a bird that gets checked. I don't know. So he says, "What did the giver, the Rabbi Yonah bar Tachlifa, to see whether they were smooth or not?" And he says, as he was checking them, he let one loose, right? Knocked loose. He let one loose. V'shach abo over b'hali the parach, and he shucks a bird. Right? As he lets go, bird goes in the air. It goes in the air and it shucks a bird. You know, good shot. So they did. So the Gemara says they were fine. I guess they were okay. The Gemara says, "Well, Dilma avid b'chalado. How do you know that it did the shkita in the right spot?" Maybe it went, you know, underneath and killed the and cut the simanim, you know, while it was hidden inside. How do you know the shechita from the right spot? So Gemara said, "Chazinan gitve de mifarmi, the mifarmi, I think called the mifarmi, de mifarmi." Rashi says that the crusos, they saw the feathers on the outside. They saw the feathers on the outside of the neck sliced, so they were able to tell, and it was good. So Gemara says, well, different question. Forget the fact of how it's even possible to happen. V'ha'a ba'i kisui. But it's a bird. So a bird requires kisui adam. How do they do kisui adam? So Gemara says, okay, what's the big deal? The tamed de mechasule. So they went over to the bird after it was shattered on the ground, and they went and they did kisui adam, and they covered the blood with the afar. So the Gemara says, no, wait a second. V'ha'a rabbi zera amarav ha'shochit tzarech sh'itin afar l'mata v'afar l'mala. It's almost like a challah. You know, you have to have underneath. You have to put the upper on the bottom, and then upper on top. You have to have this prepared upper underneath to shecht into. And how does he know that? Shenei Amar, because the pasuk says v'kisahu be afar, and you cover it. Be means like using it in afar. If you cover it in afar, it has to be inside, top and bottom. It has to be inside. Afar lo, it doesn't say kiso afar. It's lo naimer ela be afar, which they're saying that it means it has to be inside, top and bottom. You have to have the afar both on top and beneath it. Where it says, okay, the mizamin leila afar de kulu paska.
Right.
I guess they had it prepared in advance. All the ground, all the afar underneath it, right? Rashi says, second short line, right? Afar kola bika hayam masia vikutash. He ground up all the afar around in this valley. Or it was already there and he just was mizamin it to, like, however he needed to do it. I guess maybe it was a hunting zone. So he said, we're going to be shooting birds here, so we might as well just get all the afar prepared underneath. Interesting story. Okay. Next, the Mishnah. So we said in our Mishnah, if you were shochet, the idea was you're not allowed to do, you cannot, you know, press down, right? You can't press down on the shechita. Has to be done, right? The chalada, right? No, that's not chalada, sorry. That's, So you have to do it in a slicing motion. So Gemara says, "Hayashochit v'hitti." So if you started to slice, and only when you did it once, you didn't go back and forth. You just started going forward, or you started going back, whichever one. You only did it once, and the whole head popped off at once. So we say it's kosher, provided that the knife had the size of a malot savar, which we already explained in the Mishnah, but we'll get to what we explained based on the Gemara here. So Amar Rab Zeira, milot savar chutzlat savar. It means double the size of the neck. It means it has to have the knife has to be big as the knife that hasn't touched the neck has to be as big as the neck. So it would have the ability to go back and forth. So Yibayluhu, so that's what Bezera said. But they asked for Bezera, Milot Savar means Chutzlat Savar, Kimilot Savar, the Haveluhu trade Savare. Is it like we just explained? The Milot Savar means the amount outside of the Savar, which would mean that the knife would at least be two necks long. Odilma melot savar chutzlat savar mashu, or maybe just a little bit. As long as it has a mashu open beyond the neck, that would be enough. So Gemara says Tashma. We'll prove to you basically that Rabbi Zeira is right, and the way that we've been explaining it till now has been correct. Tashma hayashochet, the second part of the Mishnah. You were shochet two behemos at once. Hayashochet, right? V'hitiz shnei rushim levas achad, and you sliced off both necks at the same time. Im yesh besakim melot savar echad kosher. If the knife has a melot savar, one melot savar, it's kosher. So the Gemara says again, my melot savar echad. What does it mean here in the second parish? Im leima melot savar echad v'su lo. If it just means a little bit, hashlo b'vehema achas ba'in melot savar v'chutzlat savar. Shtei behemot sagalu. If it's the same amount, if you say that the malot sagalu just means it's a little bit, so I need just a little bit for the first, if it's one night, if it's one neck, and I just need the same little bit if it's two necks, doesn't make sense. The two necks is much longer, so the Gemara says, no, so it must be el pshita malot sagalu chutzos shnei tzavarim. Malot sagalu means an additional neck length beyond the length of the two necks that you're shechting. So, shma mina malot sagalu chutzos tzavar, shma mina. You see that malot sagalu means longer, another neck length. Okay. Now the Mishnah says, "Bizmedvar mamurim is matcha holit v'lo hevi." The whole problem of to have to worry about the length of the knife is that you, if you only went one way and didn't come back. But the Mishnah said, right, there's a quote here, "Ival im holit v'hevi." If you're constantly doing the slicing back and forth, I feel a koshu, I feel bizemel ksheira. Even a koshu, even a scalpel, I think izemel is the way they translate it. Even a scalpel is going to be sufficient. Amar Rav Menashe, Rav Menashe says, "Bizemel she'ein lo karnayim." It has to be this izemel that doesn't have these horns or these nooks on it or something like that. I guess they had these certain scalpels that had certain decorative things. Rashi says, "She'ein lo karnayim." The regilim ha'il asos kimin karnayim li'izmilin li'noy al gabeyan matin litzad roshan. It made some sort of decorative thing on these on the scalpels.
Yeah, but on the blade.
No, on the scalpel itself. Umitoshahu. Let's finish reading Rashi. Umitoshahu kata ma'od. No Rashi. Umitoshahu kata ma'od. So since the scalpel is very small, right, the blade is very small, so the possibility exists whatever's on the outside of the blade might also get caught. Right? Shahu's kata ma'od. Nishmat minat tzavar. Ukushumoluku maybe. Yesh lechosh. Shema yachlidu asimanim. O yinakfu osa karnayim. You're concerned that maybe if you go, you're going back and forth, if you're not careful, you're going to draw it a little bit, so whatever's protruding from the scalpel might get caught on the simanim and cause it to rip. So it has to be just a smooth utensil all the way through.
But we already have a scalpel's not good because didn't we say already 2 minutes ago that you needed the size of the neck ring?
That was only if you did it when you sliced off when you did it in one motion, the behemoth sliced off without going back and forth. But here the Mishnah says, but medvar mamurim, when do you need...
Nice size.
Right. When do you need to have this large knife that's only bismacha holich v'lo hevi? Of a holich and hevi, if you went back and forth, it doesn't matter. Right. But the concern is that you're going to pop, that you just, you did a drusa. So if you pulled it back and forth, I'm assuming that it means if you have a big enough knife, then you could, the potential was for to go back and forth, then you need that bigger knife. But if you actually are going back and forth, the Mishnah says, you don't need that big size of a knife. You can even have an izemel, even a scalpel would be sufficient, as long as you're going back and forth. The first part of the Mishnah was you only went one way.
It doesn't make a difference how deep you go in it.
Right, you'll just keep going.
Exactly.
Yeah, you just got to do it in the right time. Okay, so Amar Leh Rav Acha, Bered Rav Abba Rav Menashe. So Rav Acha says to Rav Menashe, Machta. What's the story? What's the story with a needle? He used a needle. I don't know what that is. Amalei, machta de mirzabaza. A needle, where's the sharpness? The needle sharpness is on the point. Yeah. So you stab, that's in order to do it, you have to stab it or prick it.
Question.
What?
That's the arrow question.
Right, that's what he said. The arrow, I guess you're saying, was slicing through. Here, you get the needle, you have to stab through. So what's the problem? Why would you, it's not a blade. The needle's not a blade. It just has a sharp point. The Rosh says, no, machta de ushkape. It's the knife that it's used by the cobblers or somebody. It's Rashi says machta de ushmuzi. I think it's like an exacto knife. It seems to be something like that. He says marza haratzonim shefiosav chadudim v'chotkim chutei tefar. And they sort of like
it's an awl.
All right. That's what how he translates it.
So it's not a needle.
No, it's not a needle.
It's just like a needle. Just a bigger one.
It's just a bigger one. I don't know.
How does that solve the problem?
I guess it has a blade.
Has to stab it.
He has a blade. No, so you can slice. If it has a blade, you can slice.
He's standard.
Yeah.
No, it's an iceberg.
So, yeah, it's like a sharp iceberg.
So it has a blade.
So it slices as it goes down.
So you can slice. Whatever it is.
So what you're doing is this.
Yeah, you can slice with it. That's what he's saying. So Amar Leh, and Mar says, Tanina, what's the big deal? We already had this. The Mishnah said, as long as you're slicing, you can use even a mash, you can use anything. So Amar Leh, Tanina, feel a koshu. So the Gemara says, my lav, is the Mishnah coming, when the Mishnah says, filo koshu, my lav, machta to ushkafi, isn't it coming to include the machna dushkafi, which is already then included in the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, lo, izemel. It's coming to include the izemel. The Gemara says, izemel? It's listed in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, izemel, behedja katani lei. So no, it says, parusha kamafarish. The Mishnah is just explaining itself. My kol shehu, what does it mean, kol shehu in the Mishnah? Mishnah, that means an izemel. And then they're asking about the machna dushkafi. So then, Hakanami Mistaber, that the Mishnah is explaining itself by saying Yizemel, the Isa Kadaitach Machta the Ushkafi, because if you're thinking that the Mishnah, when it says kosher, was including this Mashka the Ushkafi, Hashda Machta the Ushkafi Sharia Yizemel Iboi, why would it have to, if the Mashka the Ushkafi is a bigger Kiddush? So if the Mishnah is coming to include Mashka the Ushkafi by saying kosher, why does it even have to mention the Yizemel, which is even, a better blade? Kamash Malan, the Mishnah is teaching. So it must be that the Mishnah is teaching us the Zemel, which is an example, and now we're having a Shaila on the Mashka the Ushkafi. So Zemel, it's strictly, the Gemara says, no, we could even say that the Zemel is coming to talk about, that the Mishnah is coming to teach you about the Mashka the Ushkafi. It's already there. If the Mashka the Ushkafi is there, what do I need to teach you about the Zemel in the Mishnah? Zemel, it's strictly, you would say the Zemel is necessary. The Chachamim teach that the Zemel is okay. The Chachamim didn't make a Gezerah. Typically, this Zemel had these decorative little hooks coming out of it. So you would have thought they would make a Gezerah that you shouldn't use any Zemel out to the side, that maybe you're going to then come ahead and use the Zemel that has the hooks on it, and hooks again could get caught on the neck. So the Mishnah says, no, don't worry about it. Therefore, they teach you a Zemel is kosher, when it says the word Zemel, and Kosho would come to teach you that even the Machna the Ushkafi would be good to use, again, provided that you're going back and forth and you don't pop it off in one shot. If it pops off in one shot, which is probably only more applicable by a small bird, if you pop it off in one shot, then you have to have that extra size, that extra long knife, which is at least two neck long knife. Okay. Right? That's that to be. It's interesting because I don't understand exactly the
Metzius. I mean, if you're saying you're not allowed to stab, it has to be a cut.
Right.
How can you use a pick?
Because whatever this pick is, I'm not. He says that it's a pick. I thought it was more of like an exacto knife. But whatever the thing is, it has a blade. That's all.
It has a point. You yourself said.
The needle has a point. That's a machta. But a machta de ushkafi has a blade. That's all.
How do you not do drisa?
What?
How do you not throw
it? You do slice. Very carefully.
So you're not pushing down.
No, you're not. That's the whole idea. The needle, the only way to do is to push down. So they said, how can it be a needle? He says, no, it's not a regular needle. It's the mashka the ushkafi, which has a blade, which you can use, you can slice with. Okay. Interesting. Now, not lo sakin v'shachata, afa pisha shachata kidarka psula. So you have a knife. I guess it just falls. It wasn't pushed. It wasn't thrown. No kolach adam, it just moves by itself, falls by itself, the wind blew, or whatever the case is, it fell down, and as in its motion, it goes and it shechs and it does it a proper shkita, somehow. Okay? Afal pishachta kedark, it's pasal. Why? Shenemar, the pasuk says, and this is by Kachim, it says, v'zavachta mibkarka mitzvancha asher natan Hashem lekach asher tzivisa v'yachalta. So it's v'zavachta and v'yachalta. You shecht, then you eat. Only what you shecht can do you eat. So it has to have some sort of input from a human.
So the animal was situated upside down. Together.
Who says?
Why? How do you do it?
Whatever needed to happen for the situation happened, and that's the case the Mishnah's talking about. I don't. That's the case.
Fell on a shard of glass and ripped
it. No, it didn't fall. The animal didn't fall. The thing fell. The knife fell.
No, you need an action.
But it didn't. It's possible in this case. So that's why it's
action.
Okay, we'll get to it. This is called the Mishnah. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the knife fell by itself, right? The Mishnah. Rashi doesn't have it. The knife fell by itself in Shachta. That's the case. So Gemara says, Taima de Nafla. The whole reason why it's puzzled, the Shkikta's puzzled, is because of the Nafla, because it fell by itself without any human action involved. Ha hi pi lahu. What if he himself caused it to fall, or he tossed it to the wall? He was practicing knife throwing or whatever it is, and he tossed it. Afal gav de lo mekavin, even if he didn't have kavana to use the animal, with this action, it would be kosher. He says, "Hahi pilahu ksheira v'afal gav de lo mekavin." Right, as long as he has this. So the Gemara says, "Mantana, who is the author of this Mishnah? De lo ba'in and kavana l'shkita." Who says you don't have to have kavana to do shkita? You didn't have kavod shchita here. You're tossing knives. I don't know. You're juggling knives and it did shchita. But as long as we call it adam, do we say that's Rabbi Nassan? Amar Rava Rabbi Nassan he. We're going to ask in a moment. Do we already have Rava tell us this on the top base? But he says Amar Rava Rabbi Nassan he. Tetani Oshia Zeira Demin Chavre, which I think I mean that Oshia was the young person of the Chevra and the Bnei Yeshiva. So he says Zorak Sakin Lenoatza Bekotel. So the guy is throwing knives in order to, you know, throw them, you know, his knife throwing against the wall. He's practicing throwing knives against the wall. The halacha of shechta kedarka, and somehow it went ahead and shechted an animal kedarka. Rabbi Nosson Machshir, Rabbi Nosson says it's kosher, even though it was done without kavana. And the chachamim say arposel. The chachamim say arposel because you need some sort of kavana in order for shechita to be valid.
If he was trying to kill one animal and he killed another animal.
What, according to the Chachamim? We have to see. I don't know. According to Rav Nosson, it's not a problem.
No, according to the...
I don't know. We haven't discussed that case yet. I don't know. So, who tani la? So, Rav Oshia said the Braisa. The who amar la? And then he says, halacha k Rabbi Nosson. He says the halacha is like, accords with the shita of Rav Nosson. So, according to Oshia, the halacha is like Rav Nosson, that you don't have to have kavana for shechita. As long as you have human action, that's sufficient. So the Gemara asks, "V'ha amara Rava chada zimna." Rava already said this once, right? The opening Mishnah of our Masechta said, "Akol shochtim v'shechitas l'kasheira chutz micheir shoto v'katan." And right, and then the Mishnah said, "V'kula these three individuals sheshachtu they did shechita v'achirim roin oson and others see that it was done correctly shechitas l'kasheira. Their shechita is kasher." Well, how? They have, it's Vamrina, we said on Daf Yud Beis, but the Chayr Shota V'Katan don't have Das in order to do Shchita. So they can't have Kavana, the same Shchita. So how can that be Kasher? So the Mishnah says, Man Tana, the low body Kavana Shchita. And the Mishnah said, the Huzat Taro says that you don't need Kavana for Shchita. I'm a Rav, Rabbi Nosson. It's a Shchita of Rabbi Nosson. Right? So why do you have to say it over here? As Rashi points out, Lam Le Rav, Le Meidem, Mas Nisin, Le Meimer, Havi Pili, Hikshayu, Hashem, the Stam Tanaka Rabbi Nosson. Why does Rav have to say here that we have another Stam Tana like Rav Nosson? Ha'ashmina Rav Chadazim of the Stam Tanaka Rabbi Nosson. He already said that once, that the Stam Tana goes like Rabbi Nosson. So the Gemara is going to answer, Tzricha, no, I need both cases. Tzricha, Di Yashmina Hasam, have we just had the halacha over there by the Chayri Shot of the Katan, Mishum the Kamikavin, Mishum Chaticha Ba'ola. At least there, by the Chayri Shot of the Katan, somebody was intending to slice, to do a cut. In our case over here, there was no intention to cut an animal at all. You were throwing knives against the wall. Right? The Yashmin Hasa, Mishum the Kamikav, Mishum Khatik Olam. So maybe over there would be kosher, but here it's not. Aval Hachat Lo Mekavein at all, Emalo. The Yashmin Hacha, and if you have the case over here, you would say here it's okay, Mishum the Ka'as Mikoluch Ben Das. At least the person throwing the knife is a Bar Das. It's a regular human, a person who has Das. Aval Hasam over there by the Chayr Shot of Katon, the Loka Asmi Kol Ben Das. It's not coming from the power of someone who has Ben Das. So maybe if it's not coming from the power of someone of a Ben Das, it doesn't mean anything. It's like a Maisa Kof. It means nothing. For Emo Lo, so maybe you would think that would be culture. So therefore, the Gemara says Tzricha, I need both to teach me that in both instances, Rav Nosson would say that it's kosher. Okay. So now the Gemara moves on to a similar situation regarding tevila, going into the mikvah, also about whether you have das or not, and eventually it's going to come back to our Mishnah. Okay, so a woman who becomes tamei nida, at least in our days, it only has one impact. I mean, she's asur tevila, but also she has tuma. There's a din tuma that anything that she touches becomes tamei, and also if she's an Anishas Kohen, she can't eat Truma. And if she's a regular person, she can't eat Kachim, because she has that status. So Itmar, he learned in the base measures. Nida she ne'ensa v'tavla. Somehow, the Gemara's asked later on, she was ne'ensa, but without her das, she ended up going into the mikvah. The Gemara said maybe she fell off a bridge. She's standing on the bridge naked, I don't know, but whatever. That seems to be. She falls off the bridge and she falls in. She was tovel ba'ones, not mirtzona. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav. Tahora lebesa. She becomes mutter to her husband, even though she had no intent. The asur lecha b'truma, but she still cannot eat truma. The tefila, we split the baby here. The tefillah is not efficacious to allow her to eat the truma. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, af lebeis lo tara. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, you have to have intent to the tefillah. It has no impact whatsoever if it happens by onus. So Amalei Rava le Rav Nachman. So Rava says to Rav Nachman, L'Rav de Amar tahora lebeisa vasur le truma. I don't understand. Rav says that this tefillah, which is done by onus, matters her to her husband, but not to eat truma. Doesn't make sense. Isser avon karis hutra iser misa mibai. She's the tefillah works to permit her to do something that if she does it wrong, it's a violation of karis, which is the high level. But it's good for. But for the thing that's in a lower level, which was just a misa b'nei shemayim, that it doesn't work for. What are you talking? It should be kabbal chomer. It should work for it. If it works for the more stringent iser, it should work for the less stringent iser. So Amar Leis, Rav Nachman says back to him, no. You're making a difference. You're making a distinction between stringencies and the iser. And you have to make a difference between whether it's chulin or kachim. That's the difference. He says, Amar Leis, bala chulin hu. The husband is just a maisa chulin. Doesn't have any kedusha status. Right? Your husband's mundane, is what Martin Moore is saying. The chulin, lo mi bai kavana. When it comes to chulin, the tefillah doesn't require a kavana. When it comes to kachim, the tefillah does require a kavana. So it's nothing to do with the stringency of the iser. It has to do with what you're dealing with. You're dealing with something that's chulin. Chulin, it's fine. Right? Rashi says... No, Rashi. All right, fine. So Gemara says, u'menat temra. Okay, so where... do you have this idea? Where did you learn this to say that a tevila lechulin doesn't require kavana? Gemara brings a case. It's not. It's a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Mikvos. So gal shenitlash seems to be like some wave that has separated from the ocean, right? It's a rogue wave. It's a gal shenitlash, right? V'bo arboim saw, and it's big enough. It's big enough to have 40 saw. Oh, so before I go back, it's interesting. Tosil says, we said that if she does this tevila ba'ones, it's good for her husband, but not good for the truma. So Tosil says, asur la'achal b'truma, says, afilu l'maiser asura. She also can't eat maiser sheni. Kidamrina b'samach. Elanaka truma to no hekes b'zman hazeh. Interesting. It only mentions truma because at the time, as Bryce was said, they were knowing truma, but not knowing meiser. And then,
really?
Yeah, look at the Hagos. My Rav Reinsberg says, he says nira be'enai. I don't know where you have it in your. It's somewhere there. He says nira be'enai the be'imei ha'amorayim hayu ochlim truma tahora be'eretz Yisrael. There were no times of the Amorayim they would eat truma be'tahara in Eretz Yisrael ki hayu lehem afar para. They had the ashes of the para, and therefore they would, I guess. They were able to become tahor from Tumas Meis. Kamash Kasav Arosh to come and Perches. Aval Maisa Sheni Lo Haya Noeg, but Nais Sheni was not Noeg. Mishachar Vavayis to Lo Haya Mechitzas. Once the Meis and Meis were destroyed, they didn't have Maisa Sheni because they didn't have the walls to separate between the different areas of Yerushalayim. And once the Mechitzas fell down, but interesting to say that they had the Afar Par Aduma at the times of the Moraim. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what they said. That's what they said from the Tosos and the Hagos of Runsberg. Okay, so. The Gemara says, okay, how do we know that Tvila by Chulin works even without Kavana? So we have this rogue wave, V'bo Arboim, so that's 40 Sa, V'nafal ala Adam v'ala Kalim, and it falls onto a person and the Kalim. I guess he's waiting on, he's on the side. He must be without clothing, I'm assuming, right? Otherwise it doesn't work, because he doesn't have a Chatzitza. V'nafal al Adam v'ala Kalim, Tahorim, they are Tahor. It just fell on them. They are Tahor. This person must have been Tameh. And now the way fell on him, it's Tahar. My love, my love, Adam, Dumi the Kalim. The man is compared to the Kalim. Ma Kalim lo mikavne. I thought I'm not lo mikavne kavana. The Kalim don't need kavana. I don't know if that's really true. The Kalim need kavana. You can say that the person inputs the kavana into the Kalim. And that's how it gets. But okay, just like the Kalim doesn't require das because it can't because it's utensil. So to the person, right, why is there no Kaddish for Weinstein? Weinstein's not dead. So because the Kalim, it's just not possible. The Kalim doesn't, he's looking at me funny. He got it from. So why is the Kalim not require Kavana? Because it's a Kli. So the Kalim, So to the person doesn't require kavana because it's a kli.
Camp just came back hard.
What?
Camp just came back hard.
It's a kli. So I'm on the night, let me book kavana. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Mimai. How do you know that this guy doesn't want kavana? Maybe the guy is missing, needs a mikvah, he doesn't have anywhere, and he's waiting by the beach. He's waiting by the beach for the wave to come. That's what he's doing because he wants to become tar. So Mimai, Dilma bi Yoshevu mitzapa askinan. Emesayi tali shagal. He went. That makes more sense, actually, to me. The guy went to the beach and he's waiting for it to crash over him.
Why would he wait in a more common case? The guy just went into the ocean.
Because we'll see also later on, because there's a difference than being not having kavana at all, and to having kavana to do the maisa, but not like to do a maisa, but not have it have the halachic impact. Like the Chayyim showed to the Katan, you can ask, at least, like they said, they had maisa to cut. It wasn't that they did maisa, they didn't have kavana to do a shchita, you know, halachic shchita. But that, so if the guy goes into the ocean, he, at least he has kavana to go into the water. This is even less.
No, it's even simpler than that. If you go to the ocean, everybody knows you're there's no question.
That's right.
Well, maybe he wants to go to New Zealand. Maybe he's going skinny dipping.
There's no Finnish. There's no one who doesn't know anything about tefillah, but she goes to the ocean.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It depends.
A Jewish woman who knows nothing goes.
Rav Moshe has a tshuva about that.
Yes. That's why he makes a heta because.
Right. Rav Moshe gives a heta for that.
Because of that.
Yeah. He says that's why the kids aren't mamzerim.
Exactly.
Gone into the ocean. Yeah, I'm saying, yeah. But Moshe has a very interesting tshuva regarding that. I'm not...
That's correct.
Yeah, okay.
That's why it's
Mimai, dil b'yoshe v'tzabaskin emasa yitali shagal. So Gemara says, uke kelim, and just like the kelim, dum yod, kelim are dum yod adam. And the kelim, they are similar to the adam. Ma adam b'ina kaman up. So just like the person needs kavan or the wave to impact him. So to the kelim also need kavana. I mean, you have to have, like we said before, the person imputes the kavana into the kelim. If you just toss the kelim around, they end up falling into a mikvah. Maybe that's not sufficient. Maybe you have to have kavana. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So if that's the case, if we're talking about a guy, this is similar to Marcel's question, we're talking about a guy who's sitting there and waiting for the wave to come, Maila Memra. What's the chiddush that he's taller? He's having kavana to go into to right. go to have the wave crash over him. But he wants it. It's a windy day. He wants it to come. He knows the waves are going to come. Whatever the case is, he knows the way it's going to come. Maila Memra. So Mao the Tema, you say, oh, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is Ligzar Mishum Chardolish Shel Gishamim. Maybe we should make a gzira for a flow of rainwater. So what's a Chardolish Shel Gishamim? Rashi says Zerem Gishamim Hamikaleach Minahar Bekoach. It's flash flood type things. You have a stream of rainwater that collected on a part of a mountain, and that was rushing down, and it's going to crash over you. The ain't tov limbo because you can't that doesn't count for tevila. The hanitzok v'hakat preis ain't ochibur v'lo hayav mikva da arboim sa sharei ain't mem sa b'makom echad. When it comes to rainwater, in order for rainwater as opposed to like spring water, when it comes to rainwater to be kosher for a mikvah, it has to be collected into a spot, into an ashborah, and has to be collected after the nemsah. So the idea is that with the rainwater that's coming down is not collected in one spot, so that wouldn't be no good. So it's the rainwater crashing over you is similar to the wave case crashing over you. You have the water crashing over you. The wave is different because it's from a natural source where it's coming from. That would be kosher, but maybe you would have made a gzera of the wave unto the rainwater. Kamash malan, that we don't. And therefore the case could very well be where the person is waiting for the wave to crash over him, and it's a case of kavana. You can't prove from there that you don't need kavana for tevila, because that could be, you can interpret the case in the Mishnah as a case where you would need kavana. Aye, what's the chiddush? The chiddush is you're not making a gzeira to the rainwater, right? So he says, that, or he says, inami, another reason why you would say the case of the wave is a chiddush, this I'm not exactly sure how it is, ligzor Russian atu kipin, kamashman devol gazrinan, to make a gzeira of the, I guess the head of the wave unto the arc of the wave. That's what it seems to be. My Rashi says, Nigzor Rishon. What?
Why does that make a difference?
I'm not sure. Nigzor Rishon Atu Kifin, Detnan, the Mishnah says, Matvilin Kalin Berosh Hagal Had Nitlashman Ayam. You can be Tole and the head of the that comes crashing down. The Halach Lemerchabal Aretz. Nitlas Adam Tachas Rosho, Umekablil, the Habitvila Zob Mechubal Karka, the Kutz Mechubar. The Ein Matvilin. Shelo Yisro Kalim Bekipe Hagal, the Hainu Be Mtiuso, she also Kekipa. because they say that's considered, you can't, I guess the wave is like this, and the ark, you can't throw your kelim into the ark, because that ark is not connected to the ground. I'm not sure.
We're not talking about a waterfall.
No, I'm talking about a wave coming off the ocean.
Right.
Okay.
We're talking about a wave.
Guy surfing, throws it inside, isn't
it? Yeah, throws it up, I guess, so that, or it's coming down. That doesn't, so therefore you would think that you make that gazer. I'm not sure there, we'll get to Mikvos. Actually, we won't get to Mikvos. Actually, it's probably
a mission. It's attached to the rest of the water. It's the same thing.
I don't think.
Throwing the clay.
I think the wave detached to the ground.
Once it gets hit on.
So when the wave hits, the front of the wave hits onto you, the wave's considered on the ground. But if you throw it in there, it's not attached to the ground. Seems to be what he's saying. It doesn't have to be common. It's just a case that
there is
things.
About weird, what? Rare stuff.
Yeah, maybe it's hard for them to make.
Then he threw it.
But he threw it into the ark of the wave. Yes. That's where it's no good.
It makes a differentiation between the head and the ark.
And then the ark. So you might have said, so in our case also, where the guy is sitting there waiting for the wave to crash on him, maybe you make a gazera of the head. The front
this
part.
Thing goes like this on
that's
two,
the head.
Or is it this?
The ark. So, Mar says, "Kamashman the logos arena. We don't make the gezerah, and you can be tovel in the front, instead of the head, the front of the wave crashing in." So Gemara says, "Okay, fine. So if that's the case, and we still have no proof as to whether or not you can do tevila without kavana, right?" So Gemara says, "Uminatema the lomat bila bekeepin." And how do we know that you can't do tevila in the ark? So he says, "Detnan." But it's not a Mishnah. It says the Tanya. It's a Brisa. Matbilin Beroshin. You can do tefillah in the head, the front part of the wave. The Eimat Bilin Bekeepin. But you can't do tefillah in the ark. She Eimat Bilin Ba'avir. Because the ark is considered in the air. I don't know if a person, talking about a person, I'm probably talking about, you know, tossing Kalim up into there. Fine. So the case, so basically we just decided that this Mishnah, this whole source, cannot be a source that you can do tefillah without kavana, because the possibility exists is that this is a case of kavana where the guy is waiting for the wave to crash, and the reason why it's just chiddush is because one of the two kanas that we don't gezeiros that we don't make. Okay, so el chulin lo bai kavana miyaminolan. So now that you remember, the original thing whole started that this woman went to mikvah by beones, and they made a distinction and said that the chulin is mutter, she could be with her husband, but the truma is not. And we asked, so where's the source that you don't have any kavana to the chulin? We still need that source. So elachulin the loy kavana meha minolam. Where is that? So the case is going to be from the Tanan, a Mishnah that we all know from Maseches Machshirin. We don't know it. Okay, the Tanan. I don't know it. Perish shenafulu toch amas hamayim. So you have fruits. Again, in order for food items to become hukshal the kabal tuma, there has to be water placed upon them, but the water has to be chiyutan. You have to have wanted the water to be there, and you can also prove your desire for the water ex post facto by doing something with the water that shows that you want the water there. So it says peiros shenafu l'toch amas hamayim. So the peiros fell into this canal of water. Upashat misha yadav tameos, and somebody I guess who has tamei hands. Chachamim made a gzeira that our hands are tamei. That's why to wash tefillah sedayim. One of the reasons wash tefillah sedayim for bread. Upashat misha yadav tameos into the canal. Unitalon, and he takes the peiros out. So yadav tahoros, his hands become clean, right away you see. Maybe he's not doing it for any other purpose but to get the peiros out, and yet his hands become clean. Maybe that's a so that you don't need kavana. Uperos einon b'chiyutan. But the peiros are not huksha l'kabal tumba. Why? Rashi says, yadav tahoros, kol shekeshes kavin, even kol shekeshes if he wanted to make them tahor, but here the case, he just sticks his hands in. But the peiros are not b'chiyutan, right? Why are they not b'chiyutan? He had no kavana for these waters to be there. He didn't care. He just stuck his hand in to get the things out. But im bishvil sheyutcho, but if he sticks his hands in on purpose because he wants to use the canal and the water canal of water in order to purify his hands, then yadav tahoros beperos bichiyuton. His hands are tahar, and the peros have the chiyuton because he wants the water. Even though he didn't want necessarily say they want the water on the peiros, we actually learned this earlier in the Masechta, as long as he wants the water itself, it's b'chiyutan. As Rashi says, "Harei b'chiyutan u'mekavim tuma mekan de'elech, da'achshav alahach nefilas peiros litol yodov v'hagbasan v'havelei mashkesh sofol l'ratzon." It ends up being a liquid, and in the end, he wants the liquid, because he wants the liquid to purify his hands.
For any reason.
Utznan, it's the first Mishnah Machshirin, kol mashkesh is sofa l'ratzon, afal pishen t'chilasa l'ratzon makshir. That was the case of the wall. He had to put a bowl on top of the wall, and the water was dripping on the bowl. Was the bowl there to put? Is he collecting the water? Because he wants to push the water off the bowl. Same idea. As long as he has ratzon at some point in time for the water. So you see here that in the first part of this Mishnah, the guy just stuck his hands into the canal. He just stuck his hands in, and we say he's tohar. He didn't have kavana. So that's the proof. I don't know why that's a proof. My kasha is, and I must have seen, is that the nida is aser midoraisa. It's a tuma doraisa. The fact that our hands are tamei, just our hands, that's a din derabanan. So maybe we say you don't need kavana by the din by tefila that is matching you from a tuma derabanan. Who says that it works for a tuma doraisa?
Because in the end result is nobody wants to be tamei.
Correct. So well, yeah, okay.
You would say that afterwards, even though you didn't have intent of it, you're happy with the end result, which is the same thing with the chiyutan also. Even though
so I understand result, the chiyutan, I'm saying, but why is it, I don't understand how you're comparing the case of the hands to the case of the nida. The nida is a surah labayla midin deraisin, it's a karis.
Yeah,
so maybe for that you would need kavana. The proof that you're bringing from that is a guy who's tamei midin derabanan. Your hands are only tamei midin derabanan. So maybe the distinction is that midin derabanan, you don't need kavana for as long as it gets put in. But maybe a nida would need kavana. I don't understand the comparison.
Because in the end result, the person wants to be tar.
There's no kavana here.
You don't need the kavana. It's telling you you don't need that kavana.
But it's only telling me I don't need kavana. The case that they're bringing is a derabanan case. So I can make a chiluk.
You can.
So that's why kasha.
You're wrong.
Okay. All right. Eisei Rava Rav Nachman. So Rava now asked on Rav Nachman. Okay, Rava asked on Rav Nachman. Again, Rav Nachman was the one who said that you don't need kavana, right? Or Rav Nachman was one who made the distinction between the chulin and the kodshim. So Eisei Rav Rav Nachman. So this says we say in Chagiga Taval lechulin. So if you did tefila to, or maybe Rav says, what was Rav Nachman? I got to keep the sheet straight. Rav Nachman says, Rav Zno Lebeza, Rav Yochanan. Who's Rav Nachman? Okay, he's just asking Rav Nachman a question. Okay, Taval lechulin. A person does tefila with in mind that he should become tahor from chulin, right? Tahor lechulin, v'huksak lechulin, aser lemaiser. So he does tefila, I think, to eat chulin, and his kavana is to become tahor for chulin. He's still aser to maiser. I mean, okay, so it seems to be here. It says huksak in. If he has kavana to become tahor from chulin, that then it works. Low hooks like low. But if he doesn't have kavana, it doesn't work. Which is Akash on you, who said that you can make this distinction between chulin and that he doesn't need kavana. So he says, no, hachikam. This is what it says. Afal pish hooks like chulin also the meiser. No, the Mishnah is saying that even though it works for chulin, it doesn't work for meiser. The Mishnah says, Eishrei, wait a second. The Mishnah continues there and says, tava the low hooksuk, ki ilo tava. If you did tefila and you didn't have kavana, it says, if you didn't do the tefila. That seems to be clear that you need kavana to have for it to work. So my love ki'ilo tavo klal doesn't mean that it's as if he didn't do tvila at all. Lo, it means ki'ilo tavo lemaiser. About tavo lechulin. In other words, if it says tavo below huksak, it doesn't work. That's the gabi kachim. That's for meiser. But it doesn't apply to the chulin. Chulin does not require, in order to become tar for chulin purposes, doesn't require kavana. I'm saying he was asking the question. He's reinterpreting this mishnah so that it fits with the case of the nida, with the case of the nida. So the gemara. So who suffer? Rabbi thought. That Rav Nachman was just pushing him off with an answer, you know, sort of like what people in Daf Yomi do, they just push off the answer, the questions, but he wasn't serious about it. So Nafak Dakva Ashkach. So then in the end he went and he checked and he saw no, the Tanya, it's actually a brisa that supports it. The low hooksuk, when it says he didn't have kavana, it's mutar lechulin v'asur lemaiser. If you don't have kavana, it still works for chulin, but doesn't work for maiser. So again, we come down to prove that for chulin you don't need kavana. But for Meiser, you would need kavana for the tefillah. So if we just prove that, isn't that a kasha? Isn't that would be a kasha though on Rav Yochanan, who said that you do need kavana for tefillah? We just have a brisa here that proves that you don't need kavana for tefillah for chulin. So Amalei Abaye le Rav Yosef, lema tahave tiyufta de Rabbi Yochanan meha. Let us be a question on Rav Yochanan from here. So he says Amalei, you're right. In Chanami, that this brisa goes against Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan has other Tanaitic support. He has another brisa that supports him. Amralei, Rav Yochanan Huda Amar ki Rav Yonasan ben Yosef. Rav Yochanan holds like Rav Yonasan ben Yosef, and Rav Yonasan ben Yosef is going to be a Tana who requires Kavana even for Tvila for Chulin. Right? The Tanya. So we have this Raisa. So, what's going on here is we're talking about the negayim or tsaras that's on clothing. Tsaras on clothing requires two washings, right? After the kohen sees the nega, he secludes the article of clothing for 7 days, and after 7 days he looks at it again. Now, if it doesn't get bigger, right, he has to wash it. Yeah, it doesn't get bigger, he has to wash it, and then he secludes it again for seven more days, and he washes it again. It says v'siva pasuk says v'tziva kohen v'chipso es asher bo nega v'hiskiro sheves yomim shenis, and then it says after the second 7 days. It's habeged or hashasi or erev or kol kliot asher tichabes. Besides, to wash it again a second time. So Rav Yonasan ben Yosef Omer, it says, on the second washing, the pasuk says, v'chubas v'taher. It is washed and it becomes tahor. Ma Talmud lomar shenis. Why does it say, it says v'chubas shenis. Why does it have to say the word is washed a second time? If your pasuk says it's washed, and the pasuk says it's washed again, we know it's the second time. So why does it say v'chubas shenis? Why is the second time? Why does it say the word shenis? So he says makish tikbosa shnia litikbosa rishona. We compare the second washing to the first washing. Ma tikbosa rishona ledas. Just like the first washing has to be das, the kohen has to do it purposely with the intent to purify it. Ach tikbosa shnia, the second tikbosa, which the second washing is actually just putting it in the mikvah, so it becomes tahor, has to be ledas. So you see, it has to be. With us, you're purifying the article of clothing for a regular person to wear. It's chulin. So you see that you need, the tefillah has to be midas. So it says, im alohalon, where does this compare? Im alohalon, if over there, pe'inim das kohen, avkabim das kohen. Well, you're comparing the first to the second, and say, just like the first needs das, the second needs das. Well, the first one has to be done by a kohen. Shouldn't the second one also have to be done by a kohen? I mean, no, that's not the case. So avkabim das kohen, so tamil omar vitaher. No, it says the word is vitaher, which means Mikomakom, that at any place that it has, anywhere it has to be, it could be washed by anybody, and that's sufficient. Again, so he's proving from here, from this case of tsaras, that it requires das. I'm like, I should again, let's make another distinction. Here, it's specifically because there's a concept that tells you when it comes to tsaras, the chup lasakoin, you have to have the das. I don't know why you necessarily have to then draw it across to every other case. Let's say this is the example brought in the Torah, and then you use that example across the board. Okay, and I'm not sure. So maskif lo Rav Shimi bar Ashi. So Rav Shimi bar Ashi asks, "Umi amar Rav Yochanan hachi? Does Rav Yochanan really hold that you have to have that chulin required kavana when you do tevila? V'hamar Rav Yochanan halachas ta mishnah. Rav Yochanan is one who holds that the halachas ta mishnah, and this line gets him into trouble a lot. Right? He says the halachas like a ta mishnah. We just had ta mishnayos that say that we hold like Rav Nasan that you don't need das. Right? V'hamar Rav Yochanan halachas ta mishnah. And what about our case? But Tanan, back to our mishnah." Nafla sakim v'shachta av v'shachta gedarka psula va'avina va'taima de nafla ha'ipilahu. So if the knife falls, it's not kosher. But if you make it fall, or you push it, or you toss it, and it does the shchita, it is kosher. Ha'ipilahu k'shera v'afal gad lo mekavin. Even though you didn't have kavanah to the shchita, va'avrina man time the lo bayi kavanah shchita. Who's the Tana who says that you don't require kavanah by shchita? V'amarav Rabbi Nasani. It's Rabbi Nasan. So we have a stam Tana here, stam mishnah. Actually, two. We have the first mishnah also. Two stam mishnayos that show that you don't need kavanah b'shchita. Why is Rav Yochanan coming up earlier and say that you do need kavanah b'shchita? Why is that the case? So he says no, because b'shchita, when it comes to chulin b'shchita, feel Rav Yonasan ben Yosef would agree. Even Rav Yonasan ben Yosef, who said that you need kavanah by tevila, he would agree that by shchita you don't need kavanah. Why? I'm not sure what this means. Midegali rachmana misasek b'kachim pasol michlal chulin lo ba'in kavanah. There is a specific Zeres HaKasov, because it says Lirtzon Chem, that if you just stam is asik when you shecht kachim, that's not good. So I guess by the fact that the Torah had to make a specific rule by kachim that misasik is no good, michlal that by chulin, misasik is good. So you see, so Rav Yochanan, so therefore, it would require, Rav Yochanan, who would hold, like Rav Yonasan, regarding that you need kavanah for tevila, would agree that by shchita you don't need kavanah. Okay. Fine. Now, the Rabbanan, now what about the Rabbanan? There was a machlokas by Rav Nassan way back when we started, right? Rav Yochanan had this said that you need kavanah by tevila. And we said, how can you say you need kavanah by tevila? How do you need kavanah for something chulin? You see that by, even the person who he holds like, says you don't need kavanah by chulin. By shchita, but there is a shita that says you need kavanah by shchita. Those are the chachamim that argue with Rav Nasan. So what do they hold? So for Rabbanon, you're right. Nihi delo ba'inan kavana lezvicha lichaticha ba'inan. So maybe you don't need, they're going to say, you don't need kavana to say that I'm shechting the two simanim in order for it to be kosher shechita, but you at least need kavana to be cutting something. When I'm tossing knives in the air, or I'm flipping a knife off my lap, I have no kavana for any cutting. So I don't need kavana for, so they're going to say, I need at least kavana for cutting. It may not, the Gezeiras HaKasav is that I don't need kavana that I'm doing a kosher shechita. But at least I need kavana, this goes back a little bit to what you were saying before, at least I need kavana to do some sort of cutting action. Just to toss knives in the air is no kavana for cutting at all. And Amar Rava, Bahaz Zaknu Rabbi Nassan Rabbanan. In this case, Rabbi Nassan won. He beat out the Rabbanan because, again, it says, so they pass like Rabbi Nassan that you don't even need kavana for cutting at all. Miksiv v'chatachta v'zavachta ksiv. It doesn't say v'chasachta that you cut. It says v'zavachta. He says it's zero-sum game. If you need kavana for cutting, then you need kavana for what you're doing. If you don't need kavana for what you're doing, you don't need kavana for cutting either. It doesn't make sense to make this little split that, yes, you don't have to have kavana for the kashrus shechita, but you have to have kavana to do some sort of cutting. Okay. So then the Gemara asked the question, yes, he left. Getting back to the original case, how is it possible of a case that a nida accidentally, Ba'onis does tvila in the mikvah. What's the case? So Ilema the Ansa Chaverta the Atla, maybe she was thrown in by her friend. She dunked her into the water by her friend. He says, no, Kavana the Chaverta, Kavana Malansahi. The Kavana of her friend is imputed unto her, and that's sufficient. How do we know? Because we'll see in a moment. Va'od b'truma nami achla. And she would be okay to eat truma in that case. Why? The Tanan, the Mishnah says in Nida, Hachareshes v'ashote v'asuma. The three people don't have das. The woman who have das can put them in the mikvah, and their das from the other women is imputed onto them, and that works. So that can't be the case that when she was nensa and tell her, someone threw her in. So Amra Papa, what's the case? Rav Nassan shenaflam in a gesher. So Rav Nassan, according to Rav Nassan, the case is she was walking on the bridge and she fell off the bridge, and I guess she got disrobed when she fell off the bridge. Okay. Somehow, she fell off the bridge, or maybe she was in, the impact took all the robe off, I don't know. Ula Rabbanon, because you don't need any kavana at all. Rabbanon, she yardalei laker. Rabbanon, who require at least kavana for cutting, would say that here, at least she requires kavana, she went into the water to cool off. So she had this little bit of kavana, she went into the water to cool off, and you got this robe that she did, and did tefila, and that would be sufficient for her. 2 minutes? Huh? 3 minutes? Okay, Amar Rav, now we do. Amar Rav, Shachat Parah, someone shechted a Parah Duma, V'shachat Behema Acheres Ima. He shechs a Parah Duma, and he shechs another animal at the same time, a divrei called Psula. Everyone says that the Parah is possible, because you're doing another Malacha, why are you doing the Parah Duma? That's what it is. So, Nishchata Behema, we'll start the Amar a little later. Nishchata Behema Acheres Ima, but, okay, no, fine, it's too long. We'll stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow by the Amar Rav, by the two dots on the bottom.
Thank you for driving.